This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter. It's 4 services this weekend at The Fields. You're one of those, and it's an exciting weekend to celebrate Jesus. Just think, next year we'll probably have 6 services with our Charleston location, and we just get the opportunity to tell more and more people about the love of Jesus, and that's very exciting, the impact that we can have in people's lives, where we literally can just open up the doors and open up our arms wide open and say, welcome home to more and more people who need to know that God loves them. And you're here today. I want you to understand that that's why we exist, to help people find and follow Jesus. And we want to give that life-giving message that God can do something great in your life. And we're just glad that you're here today. We have this little thing we do on Easter, and it's if you can take out your info card real quick, take that out, because on Easter, we like to ask a couple questions. In the middle column there is the 2018 annual Easter survey. Now, we do this on Easter because it just happens to be the one weekend you guys all show up at the same time. And so between all 4 services, we really get like everybody. And so we're going to ask a couple questions that helps us just be better at being a church to help you and help the community. And the first question there is, what brought you to the Fields Church? Now, I'm not talking your make and model of your minivan or anything like that. I'm saying, like, what brought you here? Like, was it an invitation from a friend, something you saw online, you drove past, whatever. You know, you mark that down. You can fill in if it was something else. But we would like to know, why do we ask a question like that? Because we want to help more people find and follow Jesus. And there's maybe some things that we're doing that's not working. And if we get all of your answers are like, oh, there's a lot of common themes here, we want to go that direction, and maybe we could quit doing something like, maybe we don't have to buy an advertisement, maybe we don't have to spend money in some areas. We want to be diligent and good stewards of our money, and we want to find out like what's really working. And so you guys are going to help us with that today. Second question is, what's the biggest stress in your life? In other words, what's keeping you up at night? Like what's the big burden that you carry? What do you got going on that you're like, this is a huge stress? I want to teach God's word in these areas because we believe that the Bible is very relevant and it helps change your life. And so if you're holding on to this stress, I'm going to take some of your answers and look at some of these themes and go, we really need to show where God's word speaks to this. This is something God can help us through. And so I want you to answer that question today, is what's the biggest stress in your life? And then the third one there is, where would you like to see a future The Fields Church location? Like if we have The Fields Church somewhere else in another community outside of Mattoon and Charleston, maybe there's a group of people that live in a different town that's saying, hey, what about our place? What about our community? We would like to know that. Now, we don't have this master plan of this dark room of this map and all these dots. It's like we just ask God to show us and lead us. And we're also opportunists, which means if there's opportunity to help other people find and follow Jesus in another community, hey, let's ask God, is that a direction we could go? So we're asking you guys, are you in another community? Like, hey, we would love to have The Fields Church in our community. So go ahead and write that down too. So just hold on to this card now. We'll get back to this later, but hold on to this for now. And for now, let's just talk about Easter. I think that's why you're here. And Easter may not be a complete foreign, you know, word to you. Like this is not completely new to you. But I do want us to unpack it a little bit. And I want us to understand that this idea of Easter, like, what's that really mean? And to be honest, I see Easter in like 2 different phases. There's the Friday story of Easter. Now, that's when Jesus was on the cross. He was dying. It was a dark day. Literally, darkness came into the area. He was in agony. His friends had split. He felt alone. He's crying out, God, where are you? Like, what's going on? Friday was, we call it in the church calendar world, Good Friday. I don't know why we call it Good Friday. It was a bad Friday. It was a horrible Friday. And there was a lot of pain and a lot of confusion and a lot of, well, now what? It was a dark and heavy day. And that's a part of Easter that we need to know and that we know. We know the cross represents Jesus being crucified, literally killed on that cross. But then there's the Sunday side of Easter. And the Sunday side of Easter is the celebration of the resurrection, that he is alive and the power of God brought him back to life. And we want to talk about that. And it is a party and it is a celebration. And everything we do up here and that you've been a part of, it is fit for the event. It is a big deal to celebrate that Jesus is alive. And so we have this Friday part of Easter and then we have this Sunday part of Easter. But a lot of our lives resemble the Friday side of Easter. Like, I peek into your Facebook and we watch the news and we know what's going on in our culture. And there's a lot of us that we just still hang out in the Friday mentality of life of, I'm tired, or I feel alone, or I'm dealing with this pain, or I've got these problems in my life, and drama, and stress, and we resemble Friday. But I'm telling you today, we need to live out the Sunday life. We need to live out the fact that it's from death to life. We need to understand that hope is alive, and there's great victory in Jesus. There was death on Friday, but there was a risen Savior on Sunday. And that's where we need to hang out and say, that is worth celebrating. At the Fields Church, we want you to know Jesus. We want you to know the power of Jesus. We want you to know the hope that's found in Jesus. That's why we exist. John, one of the writers of the gospel, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Toward the end of his life, he's on this island all by himself. And literally, Jesus is speaking to him through this vision. And he says this, Jesus says this and writes this down. He goes, hey, listen, I am the living one. This is Jesus speaking. I am the living one. I died, and he's telling this to John, and John knew he died because he was there. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death in the grave. He's like, you knew that I died, but now I'm alive. I'm alive forever and ever and ever. And then he goes on to says, I hold the keys of death and the grave. Now, there's this interesting thing in other parts of the Bible that talk about when Jesus, that time period between on the cross and being resurrected back to life, is he went into the depths of hell and he conquered death and took care of the enemy and let it be known, I'm in charge, I win, I'm the victory. And he took the keys of death and grave. Now, I don't know what defines a loser bigger than this, but when you don't even have the keys to your own house and you lose possession of your house and your keys, then all of a sudden Satan's like, I got nothing. I got nothing. And Jesus is like, you're right, you got nothing. I stole the keys of the death and the grave, and now I've got great victory over all of that. And that is who we serve. And a lot of us in the world need to quit hanging out in the Friday mentality, and we need to understand, instead of always facing the pain and the problems, we need to experience that Sunday celebration. We need to embrace that. And realize that it is true for us. So Easter is a powerful story. And the thing with Easter is it's really more about today and our future than it is the past. Now, we'll dive into the story in just a moment and look at the past, the history, like the story of Jesus coming back to life. But I want you to know that it's really, to be honest, it's much more about my future and your future. Easter is about what can happen in our life, not what happened 2,000 years ago. And when we think about that, then we can start asking ourselves, is there anything in my life right now that if I could change anything for the good, I would? Is there something that I'm holding on to that I feel like I'm just kind of stuck in that Friday mentality, that it's dead and it's not going anywhere? It's painful, it hurts, and I would love to see change, because the power of Easter can take it from a dying Friday situation to a life-giving Sunday outcome, and that's what it's about. Do you ever feel like you're in the middle of a road, and you don't know if you should turn around and go the other way? You don't know if this road is a dead end? You don't know if you're stuck? Joy and I, we took the family camping last summer in June. And then my boys, I got three boys. So if you're new with us, I got three kids, three boys, fourth grade, seventh grade, and a freshman in high school. And with my freshman in high school, we're kind of like numbering the summers that are left before he goes to college. And then we don't really know what happens in summers. You know, he could have internship, he could whatever. And so we're kind of developed a bucket list of some family experiences. And one of them was, let's go do something really different out of our comfort zone and let's go camping. And we picked a couple weeks and we went out camping west. We've never been camping. We're not a camping family. We have a minivan and a Toyota Yaris. That's it. Like we don't. So believe it or not, you can put a hitch to a minivan and you can pull a pop-up trailer. So I bought a pop-up trailer on Craigslist last year and we loaded up the trailer, we loaded up the kids and we went out west camping. We went to go to Yellowstone and some other areas out there. And so we were in Yellowstone and one of the things to do in Yellowstone was to go to this Lamar Valley. It's this valley on the very northeast side of the park. And we were camping. And if you know anything about Yellowstone, it's like a 2-hour drive from like edge to edge. It's a huge park. And so to see the wolves and to see the bear in this particular area, you have to get up and be in that area before sunrise. So like, well, let's do this. Like, this is a one-time thing. Let's get up super early. So we get up at 4:30 in the morning one day to get over to the other side of the park to get to this valley. And we wake up and it's 36 degrees. There's no electricity in Yellowstone, by the way. And I'm in a pop-up camper with canvas sides with a very upset wife. And then it's 36 degrees. And so we get up and we start to head out. And the only way to get to this valley is you got to go up over this mountain range and around and get there. So we're heading there and we start to go into the mountains. And next thing you know, it is snowing like crazy. It is icing like crazy. It is 4:30 in the morning. It is pitch black and you can't see anything. And there hasn't been a car out yet. And on this side is like the cliff of death. And on this side is this mountain that if you get too far over, you drive your van into the side of a mountain. And Joy stops and says, I think I would rather you drive this. I'm like, okay, I'll drive. So I start, because she was driving because, okay, here's another little family secret. I take care of the GPS on trips and she drives because if she takes care of the GPS and I drive, we fight all the time. She's not in here. So she drives, I give directions. Anyway, so that's why we started out. But then when the road got that way, I find out later the reason she wanted to drive is she's like, if we were going to go over the cliff, I wanted it to be on your shoulders, not on mine. Literally, she said, I don't want to crash and kill the whole family. I'll let you do that. And so we're driving and still pitch black. We're like, I don't know. We literally stopped a couple of times and said, should we go back? And then we're like, you can't even turn around on this road. Like, you can't go back. And we're like, what do we do? And finally, we just kept going, and the sun's starting to come up. And we're like, I think we can do this. And I'm white-knuckling it the entire time trying to get over this mountain. As soon as we started getting on the back end of the mountain, I get settled down because it warmed up and it wasn't so icy. So we actually pulled over and let the kids play when the sun came up. And they go outside. It's gorgeous. You guys were in your swimming pool or you were golfing or playing baseball in June. We were doing this. We didn't bring any coats. We didn't bring any gloves, nothing. These guys are just out in their hoodie sweatshirts, you know, and it's snowing 3 or 4 inches. You should see 4 inches of snow on a pop-up camper, by the way. That's a lot of fun, too. But there was that moment before we got to this was, should we keep going? Do we turn around? Is this too dangerous? And I'm telling you, like, the Easter story is a bit like that. Like, there was this group of disciples who are like, what just happened and should we keep going? And are we in trouble here? Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jesus and his disciples. They were very close. They were friends. They would go fishing together. They traveled together. They got into spitting matches with the religious Jewish elite. I mean, they didn't mind getting into a little bit of a verbal, fight, trying to figure out, like, this is what the kingdom of God's all about. And Jesus would stand his ground, and everybody was against him that was in that circle. They went to weddings, they went to parties, they went to dinners together, they helped people, they fed thousands of people supernaturally, they saw miracles, they loved on people, there was compassion, they traveled town to town, village to village, teaching about what God's word really was and how it was different from the way they grew up, and there was a new way to think about this, and they just saw amazing ministry, and they were close. And you can't, I'm going to tell you, in that culture, a couple thousand years ago in the Middle East, you can't travel together that often for 3 years and not be that close. I mean, think at night, they didn't get to go to their own individual hotel rooms like, okay, see you tomorrow. You know, we clock in at 8, right? No, I mean, they're always together around the campfire or they're piling into somebody's back room. I mean, they're always together. And if you wanted to disengage, you didn't have a cell phone. You didn't go, I'm just going to act like I'm surfing. We just like hide conversation. If we don't like the people who are around, we get this out. If you ever see people getting their phone out, they don't like you. So, they switch to looking at Facebook and text, and they're just trying to get away. They're needing some space. So they find this for, so they didn't have that back then. Heck, they didn't even have bathrooms. So they had to go around to the other side of the bush. And you knew exactly what they were doing because it's just a bush. And I mean, they were close, very close. And Jesus is the one that brought them together. He was the reason they were close. Jesus would come up to them when they were working. It's like, hey, Matthew, come follow me. And go get some others. Like, come follow me. Let's change the world. Let's do something nobody else is doing. Let's go help people understand, you know, they can understand what the word of God is. In fact, he said, hey, let's go fish for men. I know you're a fisherman, so let's go change the world. And so he grabs this group of common people and says, let's go do something. So they were doing that for 3 years. And they were in the middle of all of this. And it was a very exciting time for them. And they loved it. And it was high energy. And it was different. It was supernatural. And they were walking with Jesus, seeing all these incredible things. But then everything started to go downhill. Jesus gets arrested. He's falsely accused. And just in a moment of literally days, everything spiraled out of control for them. The disciples and Jesus' closest friends experienced the darkest days of their life when Jesus gets arrested. He's put on trial. He's flogged. Flogged is like a nice church word for there is this whip with leather straps with bones attached to the end, and they would whip Jesus and it would pull the flesh out of Jesus' back when they whipped him and then brought it back out, whipped him and brought it back out. Then they put this crown of thorns together, these long, thick thorns that would dried, and they would mock him as a king, and they put this crown on his head and they pushed it into his brow and blood would trickle down his face. And then they obviously took him all the way to the crucifixion, where a Roman crucifixion was literally nailing his hands to the cross with these big spikes so he could hold his weight up. And they take these spikes and drive them into his ankles and his feet so he could be pinned to that big tree, that big beam of wood. And they were devastated, his friends and disciples. The hopes and dreams of what life was supposed to be like, what they were talking about, like, oh, we could do this. Let's go to this village. Let's keep going. All of that ended. Their friendship with Jesus was over because he's dead. He's dead. And their life came, the life as they knew it, came to a crashing halt. And they're asking, like, what now? Like, what do we do now? What's our life look like now? What are we supposed to do? Peter even said, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to go back and go fishing. I'm going to go back to my old way of life. And then there was that moment where they just had to just deal with the pain. And they had to try to just get through it. I don't know if you, I'm sure you've been to a funeral and I'm sure you've lost a loved one. But those 1 or 2 days of visitation and funeral, you're just trying to like just get through it. A lot of people around, a lot of people asking questions, a lot of people or whatever, and you're just like, let's just get through this day. And here they are going, let's just figure this out and let's get through it. Luke tells a little bit about the story. Luke was a physician, he was a doctor, he took copious notes and was well educated and well respected. And he wrote one of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's that Luke, and he wrote this. He says, As Jesus' body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and they saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. Now, legally in the Sabbath, you can't work on the Sabbath. So they're trying to take care of the spices and the anointment. They're literally trying to just give him this proper sacred burial. And it's also in that time period of the embalming process. And so they're trying to go back and gather all the supplies to do that. And they're ready to go and treat his body. But by this time, the Sabbath has come and you can't do anything on the Sabbath. The law says you can't walk your dog. You can't go in the garden and pick a tomato. You can't do any of that stuff. And so they had to wait back. And it says, so they rested as required by the law. So Saturday was the Sabbath. And on Saturday, everything inside of them wanted to go help Jesus and treat Jesus' body and do what they wanted to do. But they couldn't. So legally, they were resting, but you and I know everything inside of them, their head and their engines are going 100 miles an hour. Mark says this. He tells a little bit more part of the story. He says very early Sunday in the morning that on sunrise, they went to the tomb. So they prepared the spices. They're getting ready to go. So early sunrise is when the Sabbath is legally over. As soon as the sun pops up, Sabbath is over, and legally they can go. So they head to the tomb. And on the way, they're asking each other, who's going to roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Who's going to roll away this rock? I think this is interesting because their life is a complete mess. Everything's turned around. Everything that they knew is gone. Everything that, you know, the direction they were heading, the hope they had in Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher, their leader, it's all just turned upside down and it's gone. And the only thing they can wonder is, like, how are we going to move this rock? And that's the question they're asking. How can we get in? How can we apply the oils and the spices? And to be honest, I really think they're just trying to survive the bad situation that's right in front of them. The only thing they can think about is this rock that's right in the way of getting to Jesus' body. But I'm a little confused at this because Matthew says in chapter 16 that Jesus told them that this was going to happen. And he says this, this is Matthew's story, is from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly. Everybody say plainly. Plainly. He's just telling it how it is. So Jesus is saying, listen, it's going to be necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. I'm going to go through pain. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to get killed, but I'm not going to ask you to repeat that because that'd be weird for you guys all saying "but" in church. So he's going to get killed, but I'm going to get raised back from the dead. And Peter pulls him aside and says that Peter pulls him aside and reprimands Jesus. I think that's interesting too. It's like, I don't think you're supposed to reprimand Jesus. But he reprimands Jesus. Says, heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. And if you see what's happening here, is the only thing Peter really heard was, I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to go through pain. I'm going to go through suffering. There's going to be a problem. And Peter's like, no, Jesus, we got your back. There won't be pain. There won't be a problem. Peter didn't even hear the rest of it that says, and I'm coming back from the dead. He's like, no one's going to hurt you. Because pains and problems is what's right in front of us, and that's all we see. And that's the same thing the ladies were going, I wonder who's going to move this stone. Now, they would have heard the same story. They would have heard Jesus say, listen, that there's going to be a day that I'm coming back to life. But the only thing that they could think about was the rock and the stone. So they're having this conversation. Who's going to move this stone? Matthew continues and writes about this and says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. So they're on their way to do the proper burial and all the sacred traditional things to do to his body. Suddenly, you can repeat that one. Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, there was this great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside this stone, sat on it. How cool is that to see that? His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And I think this is God trying to tell the ladies, listen, I told you so. Then the angel spoke and said, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's not here. He's risen from the dead just as he said he would. Like, he's not here. He's alive. He's alive. And God's like, I told you he's coming back. I told you this was going to happen. And the angel's sitting on this big rock going, you were worried about the rock. He's not even in here. He's alive. And I think what happens is we only see what's right in front of us, and we don't see the other part of the story that God's like, there's so much more to the story. It's a focus problem. We have a tough time focusing. Did you know, literally, you and I, we cannot focus on something really close and really far away at the same time? Like, just put your hand up. Look at your hand. Focus on your hand. Everything way out there is not in focus. I didn't see anybody do it, by the way. But you know, I got these new glasses a couple weeks ago. Went to the eye doctor, got these new glasses. And the eye doctor said, well, Travis, she said, I need bifocals. And I said, no, I'm not getting bifocals. I don't need bifocals. And she goes, no, I think you need bifocals. I said, I'll tell you why I don't need bifocals. I'm not old enough to get bifocals. I don't need bifocals. And she said, well, because your eye is, you know, shaping and growing or whatever, you can't see far away and close at the same time. It'd really help you if you got bifocals. And I still didn't get bifocals. I was stubborn. I'm like, no, maybe next time. But but that's the same thing as, like, the ladies were just seeing what was right in front of them, this rock. And they couldn't see the fact that God had something greater. And they were asking, who's going to move the rock? Who's going to move this stone? They were asking the wrong question. The rock wasn't the problem. The rock's not the problem. It's not knowing the power of Jesus' resurrection. That's the problem. The sealed entrance wasn't the barrier. It's not understanding that Jesus overcame death and has the power to take care of anything in your life. That's the barrier. That's what we have to get past. I mean, our days are more like we look at the bills that are due instead of looking at Jesus who has a hope for tomorrow. We look at our tainted past and our mistakes instead of looking at the bright future God has for you. Our days are questions like, well, how am I going to pay for this? And how am I going to fix this problem? And how do I fix this marriage? Or how do I get out of this marriage? Or how do I take care of my job? Or why can't I like it more? How can I feel good? And what do I do about these kids? And what do I do about this mess? And what do I do about the mess that the kids made? And, you know, what do I do about this relationship that I'm in? And we're just looking at this stuff. And the last couple of weeks, we've been asking you guys, you could turn in these prayer cards, and we've been praying for you. And you've asked us to pray for other people. And maybe some of you guys are sitting in the room today, and we had a stack of cards, and we're praying for them. And it's just like, man, that's messy. Man, that's messy. That's a mess. That's a problem. And there's so many problems in our lives. But I'm going to tell you that when Jesus was on the cross, it got really dark that day. Literally, a darkness settled in when Jesus was dying on the cross. And I personally believe that several of us are still living under that cloud of darkness. All we can see is the pain and the gloom and the problems of our life. But it's not Friday. It's Sunday. He's not on the cross. He's been risen. He's alive. He's out of the grave. And we need to experience the Sunday celebration of great victory. This is my prayer for you guys today. And Paul prayed this for the church that he was ministering to in a town called Ephesus. And he wrote it in Ephesians. And he says this, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. So I'm praying that we understand the incredible greatness of God's power. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. You see, the incredible greatness of God's power to work in your life today, your relationship today, that sense of emptiness, that sense of, I don't know if I have it all together, that relationship that's really messy, that health issue, or really just knowing you're far from God. I want you to know the greatness of God's power. He can change anything. You see the rock that's right in front of you, and he wants to show you hope. We see a closed door, and God wants to bust that door wide open and bring great victory through that door. I want to introduce you to some people here at the Fields Church that have some real stories of life change. And they're going to be coming forward, and this is their stories. In every one of them, you're going to see there was a moment and a season of their life that they were living in the Friday. The darkness, loneliness, the trouble, the problems. They were living a Friday life. But you're also going to see that God got a hold of them. And the great power that we talk about, they've got to experience the power of Sunday, the power of resurrection, the power of life change. And when you watch their stories today, I want you to realize the same God that changed their life is here today, and he can change your life too. All we have to do is reach out to him. Watch these stories. You guys can be seated. There's great victory in the stories of what God has in our lives. There's just no doubt about that. That God wants to change lives. I want you to know you're not here today by accident. But God knew that you would be here today. And he wanted you to see what he can do in other people's lives. Because it's the power of change. It's the power of the resurrecting power that brought Jesus back to life is the same power that can change anything in your life. He wants you to look past your problems and see the potential of what your new story can be. He cares about you. In the current situation that you're facing, it's not the end of the road. It can all change. You can ask Jesus to come into your life. You can have a real relationship with him. And as soon as you have a real relationship with Jesus, he begins to change you and mold you and walk with you and carry you through some of life's toughest days. So he died on this cross for your sins and for mine. He paid the price for our guilt. We're guilty. He says, I'll pay that price. And he gives it freely. All we have to do is receive it and to take it. Bible says he's knocking on our door, and all we have to do is open the door and we invite him in. And so I'm gonna encourage you, take a look inside. Is Jesus in your life? Have you asked Jesus to come in and be the leader of your life? Because today you can begin a real relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here, is to help you understand how good God is, and he wants to be with you. I'm not asking you to get all religious. I'm not asking you to sign up to be what some say is American Christianity that gets kind of confusing of what it looks like in the news or all that. No, I'm asking you to listen to him, go, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. And are we willing to just take that step and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to have a real relationship with Jesus. I'm going to pray for us this morning. Jesus, speak into our lives today. Help us understand where we are with you. Help us know if we have a relationship with you or we don't. If we've drifted away, if we've never had that relationship, Lord, begin to just knock on our door. Help us to know, Lord, that you care about every single one of us in the room today. And Lord, we want to reach back out to you, and we want, Lord, to receive you today. And so, today, if call people home, call people back to you. And Lord, as we say yes to you, you're adopting us into your family. How awesome that. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, God, that you care about all of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you take your info card back out? Take that back out. And in the middle again, where we did the survey, is the last question today. And you're going to see A, B, C, and D. And the greatest thing about this is every single one of us in the room, we're a part of this. Because this is about the journey of just being with Jesus. And we've all got a different relationship with him, whether we don't have one or we do or whatever, but we all fill this out today because we're all in this. In other words, today, if you already have a relationship with Jesus, then I want you to circle A. I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. Go ahead and circle A. I'm already in a real relationship. That's awesome. That is great. That's what God has created you to be in relationship with him. So that is awesome. Now, some of us in the room, though, today we're saying, you know what? I'm ready to begin a new relationship. So I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus today. You're going to put B. You're going to circle that right now. You're going to circle today is the day. I am beginning a real relationship with Jesus. And when you circle that B and say, man, I am beginning this relationship, he's going to say, man, just let's do this together. You're not alone. It's not going to be scary. It's going to be freeing. He's going to walk with you, your church. We're going to walk right alongside of you. It's going to be awesome. All you got to do is say, you know what? Today's the day. I'm ready to begin this real relationship with Jesus. Now, some of you guys in the room is like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready for this. That means you're going to circle C, because C is, I'd like to consider it a bit more. And that's okay. We're not pushy with this. We're here to say it's the greatest gift you can ever have is the gift of salvation. It's the greatest decision you could ever make, but I want you to make it at your time. So we're not going to push this on anybody, but if you're at a place where like, it seems interesting, but I'm just not there yet. I still need time to consider it. It's okay. Come back. Come back next week. Heck, stick around for next service. Come back next service, you know. Maybe you decide next service, but I'm telling you that it's okay, but there is a day we're praying for you to go, okay, I'm done considering and now I'm ready. And then there may be a few of us in the room like, I don't ever intend on being a Christian. I don't ever intend on making that decision. You're like, this ain't for me, and I don't ever intend on that. Last year, we did the same survey. Hundreds of people in our services. One person circles D. I don't ever intend on making that decision. You know what? His story's up here on that cross. He was up on this stage. That's right. How awesome. How awesome is that? Because even though we're like, I don't want anything to do with this, God's like, I'm still going to chase you down because I love you. And so maybe you were a D and now you need to be a C. Maybe you were a C and you're like, oh, forget that. I'm a B. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Because God's ready to receive you. All you have to do is be ready to begin that relationship. I'm going to pray for those who circled B, because you're beginning this relationship, and I just want to pray for you today. And so let's all pray together, but I'm going to specifically pray for people who said, you know what, I'm ready. Today's the day to begin that relationship. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We're going to follow you, God. And I pray for everyone who's taken that step and circled that B and said, today's the day I'm beginning a real relationship with you. Lord, help them to just admit that they are sinners in need of a Savior. We are all messy sinners in need of a Savior. And we admit that today, God. And we believe, Jesus, that you were killed on that cross, but now you're alive. We believe that God raised you back from the dead. We believe, Lord, that you are God, all powerful. And so we just want to follow you. We surrender our life and we begin to place you as the leader of our life. And we're going to follow you from this day forward. Help us, God, to just live for you and to walk this journey with you. Lord, give them hope and help and guidance as they walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, your info card today, I want every one of us to turn it in, because you're all an A, B, or C, or a D. We would love to know how many A's we got this year, how many B's we got this year. More importantly, we just want to help you take your next step. And so when guest services come at the end, just everybody's info card goes in. Everybody puts it in. And then the other thing is we would love to pray for anybody that circled B. We'd pray for anybody that needs anything, but specifically those who are like, hey, I'm making this decision to follow Jesus. Our prayer team will be up here on your right, and we just want to pray for you guys. They're going to give you a book, just kind of help you with your next steps of being a follower, but we'd love to pray for you. So I'm going to invite Pastor Evan up, and he's going to wrap us up today, and he's got one more important thing for us to hear before we get out of here on Easter. I'll see you guys out in the lobby, and then I'll see you guys back next week.